Good afternoon, everyone. Apparently, fast food has just gotten even faster. It seems that an increasing number of fast food outlets are imposing limits on how long the patrons have to gobble their burgers and fries. We'll have the latest details. In the headlines on the update this Wednesday, an innocent bystander was shot dead inside of a Bronx bodega by a gunman who was trying to rob someone else, according to cops and law enforcement officials. We'll have the latest details. A former police officer who prosecutors say was the ringleader of a campaign donation scheme to help Mayor Adams during his winning mayoral run back in 2021 was sentenced yesterday. The game between the unbeaten Tigers and the winless Mets was postponed by rain. And where did all the money go? A South Carolina senator said the elected state treasurer has breached the public trust after lawmakers didn't get much clarity yesterday about how nearly $2 billion moved through a state bank account over the past decade, without anyone knowing where it came from or was supposed to go. This is the update. Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday. A Wednesday that feels like I've said this all too much over the last little bit, features rain and thunderstorms in the forecast. This rain and thunderstorms and the strong winds, too, can't forget about those strong winds. It's going to really prove a challenge today across the area. Localized flooding, power outages, it's very possible. You know what they all say in times like this. Allow extra travel time, use mass transit, that sort of stuff. There is one silver lining in all this, though. Temperatures are supposed to be in the 60s for all of next week. So, you know, that's something definitely to look forward to, you know. This weather also, by the way, I've said it time and time again, it reminds me a lot of the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. It may want to move somewhere warmer and sunnier. Well, if you want to make such a move, might I suggest the Powerball jackpot? It's valued at over $1 billion for the drawing tonight, and it's presenting a life-changing, potentially, opportunity. So, you know, the best of luck if you decide to play in said jackpot. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings in the Bronx, where an innocent bystander was shot dead inside of a bodega by a gunman who was trying to rob someone else, according to the NYPD and law enforcement officials. 29-year-old Stephon Barnes was inside of the Gourmet Deli on East Tremont Avenue near Marmion Avenue, I should say, around 4:20 in the morning on Easter Sunday, when the thief flashed his gun and tried to mug another shopper. During the struggle, the armed man let off a round that struck Barnes in the right thigh. Barnes was taken to St. Barnabas Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries. Before the shooting, Barnes had simply been eyeing a rack of chips for sale inside the store when the botched robbery erupted steps from where he was standing, according to video that was obtained by WABC-TV. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And a company that provides services for immigrants in federal detention was ordered yesterday to pay more than $811 million in restitution and penalties in a lawsuit alleging that it used deceptive and abusive tactics. Nexus Services must pay roughly $231 million in restitution, as well as penalties of nearly $14 million to New York, over $7 million to Virginia, and nearly $3.5 million to Massachusetts, according to a judgment filed in federal court for the Western District of Virginia in Harrisonburg. The Virginia-based company, its subsidiary, Liber by Nexus, and its three executives must also pay more than $111 million in civil penalties. Attorney General Tish James said in a statement, quote, "This judgment is a victory for thousands of immigrant families who lost their life savings and were targeted to prey on by Libra. Libra exploited vulnerable immigrants and their families to pad its pockets, and that is illegal and also unconscionable." James joined state attorneys general in Virginia and Massachusetts and the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in a 2021 lawsuit that accused the company of violating state and federal consumer protection laws. Back in the Bronx, the parolee that's accused of repeatedly stabbing a 75-year-old great-grandmother inside of an elevator struck without warning and left his victim with a punctured lung, according to cops and prosecutors, as the assailant was ordered held without bail in connection to the vicious attack. 38-year-old Edwin Rios, who now faces an attempted murder charge, allegedly followed Zenora Ramos into her building on Morris near Burnside Avenues and unleashed a brutal, unprovoked attack at around 11:30 in the morning on Easter Sunday. He repeatedly struck Ramos all over her face, head, and body with a sharp object, leaving her with multiple bleeding cuts as well as a punctured lung, according to the criminal complaint. Ramos later told WABC, quote, "As I got in, without saying a word, he started punching and stabbing me. I was trapped in the elevator. I have diabetes, was operated on. He opened up all my wounds. He cut me." Ramos told the network she pleaded with the calloused hour to let her live because she has a family. A former NYPD officer who prosecutors say was the ringleader of a campaign donation scheme to help Mayor Adams during his mayoral run to win back in 2021 was sentenced yesterday, according to authorities. Dwayne Montgomery was ordered to perform 200 hours of community service and was prohibited from hosting political fundraisers or soliciting contributions on behalf of any campaign for a year during his sentencing. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's office confirmed this in an email. The 64-year-old former NYPD deputy inspector agreed to the sentence when he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor conspiracy charge back in February. Montgomery was among six people charged with conspiracy, attempted grand larceny, and making false statements in relation to the campaign donations plot. The indictment, announced by Bragg's office last July, did not implicate the mayor himself, but instead spelled out a straw donor plot by people who hoped to maximize their donations in exchange for political favors on down at City Hall. In Brooklyn, the vicious caught-on-camera killing of a laundromat owner was apparently masterminded by his own cousin in a conspiracy to steal his flashy $30,000 gold necklace. That's what the prosecutors said yesterday. Five men from the Far Rockaway section of Queens were indicted for murder, conspiracy to commit murder, robbery, and other charges stemming from the killing of 37-year-old Money Perkins inside of his East Flatbush laundromat back on December 1st, according to Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez. Perkins was allegedly ambushed by his cousin, 46-year-old Ronnie Butler, and four other assailants who were armed with handguns and wearing big, heavy coats. Perkins and Butler had been feuding ever since the opening of his business back in 2022. Back in 2022, Money P. Clean. Butler reportedly planned the necklace heist with pal, 48-year-old Luis Mercado, who recruited Mercado's 16-year-old stepson, Zachariah Slay, and his alleged gangbanger friends, 19-year-old Shalik Riddick and 20-year-old Deontay Stinson, according to sources previously telling the New York Post. The stepson and friends were offered cash for their part in the crime, according to prosecutors. Meanwhile, a Long Island couple was indicted on manslaughter charges after their toddler allegedly overdosed on their drug stash, as a local prosecutor, Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney, is pushing for new laws to prevent similar tragedies. 38-year-old Wilkins Adonis and Darley Leibrock had already faced a litany of drugs and weapons charges after the death on January of 14-month-old Joseph Adonis, who was killed by a lethal cocktail of cocaine, fentanyl, and heroin. But Monday, Suffolk County DA Tierney announced a superseding indictment that formally charged the Holbrook couple in the child's death. Tierney said in a statement, quote, 14-month-old Joseph Adonis died from an overdose due to ingesting a cocktail of heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. How many more innocent children must die for change to be enacted? It is well past time for the state legislators to wake up, put politics aside, and pass common sense legislation related to fentanyl. In other news, it's looking like it's going to be no fare for 9 taxi dispatchers at JFK Airport. According to the Queens authorities, they participated in a reprehensible scheme in which they took thousands of dollars in bribes from cabbies who wanted to cut the passenger pickup line. The Port Authority, they started receiving complaints last year, in 2022 actually, that some of the dispatchers were accepting cash from drivers who wanted to skip the front of a line in the central holding area so they could efficiently pick up fares. The payments were usually $20 or less each and were made in cash or by Cash App or Zelle, according to the Queens District Attorney's Office. Between January of 2022 and just February of this year, the 9 defendants allegedly pocketed more than $12,000 in bribes in total. 4 of them accepted more than $1,000 in bribes each and are now facing first-degree felony charges of commercial bribe receiving. And finally, well, the show, it definitely must go on. The actor Michael Stahlberg was beaming during Monday night's premiere of Patriots, a new Broadway production that he's starring in, that began previews a day after he was allegedly attacked by a homeless man with a lengthy rap sheet. The 55-year-old Boardwalk Empire star's name was above on the marquee at the Barrymore Theater as he took on the role of Russian oligarch Boris Bravovsky in the play, which is about the rise of Vladimir Putin. Photos of the premiere show the actor dressed in black looking up at the audience and clapping. The new play opened on Monday, one day after Stahlberg was walking near Central Park on the Upper East Side, when 27-year-old Xavier Israel allegedly struck him in the back of the neck with a rock, causing an abrasion. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how the Mets and the Tigers are gonna have to wait another day to wrap up their series as they were postponed by the rain. We're gonna talk together the latest national news. In Washington, President Biden and the Chinese President Xi Jinping discussed Taiwan, artificial intelligence, and security issues in a call that was meant to demonstrate a return to regular leader-to-leader dialogue between the two powers. And at the end of the broadcast today, fast food apparently is just getting even faster. It seems an increasing number of fast food outlets are imposing limits on how long patrons have to gobble up their burgers and fries. So on this Wednesday, where, of course, you got to take it easy today, lots of rain, lots of wind, possibly for flooding, power disruptions, so just try to take it easy today. So on this Wednesday, we're going to talk about all this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brain and Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julia. You know, folks, if I were to do something, if I would accidentally combine something, most people would consider it a mistake. But other people actually do these things on purpose. You know what that's called? Criminal intent. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From New York, only a rental and only $5 a day. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the help point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, it seems that the Mets have some rainy reflections to deal with for their dismal starts of the year. The scheduled game between the unbeaten Tigers and the winless Mets was postponed by the rain last night. The game is going to be made up at 1:10 tomorrow afternoon, originally an off day for both the teams. The Tigers, they play their home opener Friday afternoon against Oakland. The Mets will be in Cincinnati on Friday night. Showers, they fell all day in town, and the tarp was never removed from the infield at Citi Field. With steady rain in the forecast, of course, for today, that could put that night's game in jeopardy as well. The teams waited nearly 2 hours before the game was called last night. The Tigers are 4-0 for their best start since opening with 6 wins in 2015. All 4 victories have come on the road, 2 of them in extra innings, and the first 3 were against the White Sox by 1 run. Under Carlos Mendoza, though, the Mets are 0-4 for the first time since they lost their first 5 games in 2005. They also had a rookie manager that year. His name is Willie Randolph. From the diamond, let's go over to the ice. Islanders and the Blackhawks going at it as the chase for the playoffs continues. Bo Horvat and Simon Holmstrom scoring in the third to help the Isles beat the Blackhawks 2-1. Ilya Sorokin made 18 saves for the Isles, which pulled within 1 point of the Capitals for the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. Jason Dickinson scored for the last-place Blackhawks, which had won 3 of 4. Connor Bedard had an assist, and Peter Mrazek made 27 saves. Over at the Rock in Newark, Devils and the Penguins going at it. Penguins are fighting for their playoff lives, and they managed to get some help. Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby each scored twice during a 5-goal third for Pittsburgh, and the Penguins, they kept their hopes alive, rallying for a 6-3 win over the Devils. They led 3-1, the Devils did, after 2 periods on goals by Timo Meier, Curtis Lazar, and Jesper Bratt. Crosby and Malkin, they scored 67 seconds apart early in the third to tie the score. And from the ice, let's go to the hardwood down in Miami. Knicks and the Heat. Knicks and the Heat there definitely were going at it. Knicks are still fighting for the second spot in the Eastern Conference. Terry Rozier scored 34, capped by a beat-the-clock three-pointer in the final minute. And the Heat moved closer to a playoff spot by holding off the Knicks 109-99. Jimmy Butler scored 17, Bam Adebayo added 15, and Haywood Highsmith finished with 14 for the Heat. Miami had a 16-point lead cut to 1 with 3:23 to play, but they found a way to hang on, and Rozier's 8th three-pointer of the night with just 34 seconds left in front of the Knicks bench sealed the win. Dante DiVincenzo scored 34 for New York, while Deuce McBride added 24, and Jalen Brunson finished with 20 points and 10 assists. In Wisconsin, voters there in four states, they voted on their parties as presidential nominations. It's a largely symbolic vote, though, now that the president and the former president locked up the nominations. Talking about the wild weather across the country, thousands of homes and businesses still without power as severe weather roars through several states, causing at least one death and spawning multiple possible tornadoes. And a man admitted stealing nearly $2 million worth of jewelry, clothing, and accessories from guests at a Beverly Hills hotel, and then traveling to Florida to then sell the stolen goods. Gonna talk about this and more because national news. It's next for us around here, of course, when the update Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, every day, folks, in this studio, while I give the news to you, I ponder sometimes the questions of the universe that many people wonder and want answers to. Like, for example, why can't I wear white after Labor Day? I bet you never thought of that one, huh? This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, you know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the Update with Brandon Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the Update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. The first hump day, actually, in the month of April for us around here. It's unbelievable how we made it to April already, and literally soon, in about a couple weeks' time, we'll be on vacation, and we'll be sliding right into May. And the summer of 2024, you know, summer about that family togetherness, eating ice cream, making memories. Because, not to get off track here, but, you know, summer seems like all the stuff we talk about summer. Really. Like, we do, like, we talk about summer like it's somebody we used to date, you know. Like, you miss summer? I miss summer. I have photos of summer. That's when we were a happy family. Of course, we'll talk about more about summer when we actually get closer to it. Any event, let's talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin, of course, in Washington, where President Biden and the Chinese President Xi Jinping, they discussed Taiwan, artificial intelligence, and security issues yesterday, in a call that was meant to demonstrate a return to regular leader-to-leader dialogue between the two powers. The call, described by the White House as, quote, candid and constructive, was the leaders' first conversation since their summit back in November in California, produced renewed ties between the two nations' militaries, and a promise of enhanced cooperation on the stemming flow of deadly fentanyl and its precursors from China. Xi told Biden that the two countries should adhere to the bottom line of no clash, no confrontation, as one of the principles for this year. Xi said, according to China Central Television, the state broadcaster, quote, we should prioritize stability, not provoke troubles, not cross lines, but maintain the overall stability of China-U.S. relations. The roughly 105-minute call kicks off several weeks of high-level engagements between the two countries, with the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen set to travel to China on Thursday, and the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken to follow in the weeks ahead. In other news, we're going to go to Kenosha in Wisconsin and talk decision 2024. Voters in four states, they weighed in yesterday on their parties as presidential nominees. A largely symbolic vote, though, now that both the president and the former president have locked up the Democratic and Republican nominations. Biden and Trump easily won primaries in Rhode Island and Connecticut, with the results in New York and Wisconsin shortly coming thereafter. The victories will add to their delegate holes for their party conventions this summer. The outcomes, while hardly surprising, will nevertheless offer clues about enthusiasm among base voters for the upcoming 2020 rematch that has left a majority of Americans underwhelmed. In particular, the tallies in Wisconsin, a pivotal November battleground, will give hint about the share of Republicans who still aren't on board with Trump and how many Democrats are disillusioned with Biden. Trump campaigned yesterday in Wisconsin and Michigan, the two Midwest battlegrounds. All four states voting yesterday had multiple candidates on the ballot, and three of them also had an option to vote for, quote, uncommitted or uninstructed delegate. Biden has faced, of course, opposition from activists, encouraging Democrats to vote against Biden to send a message of disapproval for his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas. In Baltimore, the latest on the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Crews, they opened a second temporary channel yesterday, allowing a limited amount of marine traffic to bypass the mangled wreckage of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, which had blocked the vital port's main shipping channel since its destruction a week ago. Work is still ongoing to open a third channel that will allow larger vessels to pass through the bottleneck and restore more commercial activity. That's according to officials at a news conference yesterday afternoon. The channels are open primarily to vessels involved in the cleanup effort, along with some barges and tugs that have been stuck in the port of Baltimore. A tugboat pushing a fuel barge was the first vessel to use an alternative channel late on Monday. It was supplying jet fuel to Delaware's Dover Air Force Base. Governor Wes Moore said that the rough weather over the last couple of days has made the challenging salvage effort more daunting. Conditions have been unsafe for the divers trying to recover the bodies of the four construction workers believed to be trapped underwater in the wreckage. Speaking of the weather, we only address it on this program, as you know, when the weather is bad, and it definitely is, because thousands of homes and businesses were still without power yesterday as severe weather roared through several states, causing at least one death and spawning possible tornadoes. In West Virginia, about 140,000 customers were without electricity yesterday afternoon, or about 14% of all customers tracked in the state by PowerOutage.us. Meanwhile, a spring snowstorm was expected to drop more than a foot of snow in Wisconsin. Northeastern Oklahoma was hit by a strong weather system, combining heavy rains that produced three suspected tornadoes. The storms were blamed for the death of a 46-year-old homeless woman in Tulsa who died inside of a drainage pipe, according to police. Down in Columbia in South Carolina, a senator there said that the elected state treasurer has breached the public trust after lawmakers did not get much clarity yesterday about how nearly $2 billion moved through a state bank account over the past decade without anyone knowing where it came from or was supposed to go. For 6 hours, the Republican treasurer, Curtis Loftus, answered questions, sometimes yelling at senators, and other times saying that he just didn't have the answers. He told the chamber that he wasn't given information he requested to try to untangle the mess that started as the state shifted from accounting systems in the mid-2010s. But he left before Republican Senator Larry Grooms summed up the day by saying, quote, "Apparently, Mr. Loftus has lost control of the state treasury, and the General Assembly can't rely on him to solve the problems that he created." Said Grooms, a powerful Republican elected back in 1997, quote, "Mr. Loftus has abrogated his responsibility as a state treasurer. He has breached the public trust." And out in the American West in Los Angeles, a Southern California man yesterday admitted stealing nearly $2 million worth of jewelry, clothing, and accessories from guests at the Beverly Hills Hotel, then traveling to Florida to sell the stolen goods, according to federal prosecutors. 38-year-old Jobson Marangoni DeCastro pleaded guilty to one count of interstate transportation of stolen property. That's a felony that carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in federal prison, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. DeCastro targeted two victims, both residents of Brazil, who traveled together to Beverly Hills to attend the fashion event last May, according to a statement. They brought with them six suitcases filled with jewelry and high-end items worth about nearly $2 million, according to court documents. DeCastro tricked a hotel employee into giving him a key to the victim's room and then stole all of their suitcases while they were at dinner, according to prosecutors. Well, it looks like when we all eat fast food, you know, we have the time to eat it. But it looks like fast food is growing even faster. It seems that an increasing number of fast food outlets are imposing limits on how long patrons have to gobble their burgers and fries. Gonna talk about this because your honorable mention is next. When the update, Brandon Julian continues.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From New York, a magical place not found on any map. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. First hump day in the month of April for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, there's just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. And it seems like, if you go around town these days, that fast food is just getting even faster. Because it seems now that an increasing number of fast food outlets are imposing limits on how long patrons have to gobble their burgers and fries. Recently, there was a Reddit post that detailed a half-hour eat-and-run policy, as readers shared some similar stories of how fast food outlets are restricting their chow time. One stunned commenter in the caption of said post said, quote, "I work next door and I just saw this as I was entering." The accompanying photo that was taken at an undisclosed outlet depicts an unfriendly sign, in quotes, stipulating that there is, quote, "no loitering or solicitation," and that customers have a 30-minute window in which to consume their food. The sign reads, quote, "The management must enforce these rules. Your cooperation is appreciated." While the reason for the advisory was not specified, Redditors had their own theories, with many citing similar policies at their local fast food depots. One commenter said, quote, "Yeah, there are 30-minute limits here in Denver at McDonald's." Many claimed that they imposed the policy to deter vagrants. Declared another, in Baltimore City, there was a sign in the bathroom that said it was for customers only. They did not want homeless people living in bathrooms or even showering in them. Another said, quote, "Not sure how many of you have been to Los Angeles, but these rules are here for a reason. Vagrants will pull up and literally take up three booths with their belongings after buying a single soda. And if this sign isn't there, they'll just fight the staff." Half the time, they fight them anyways. A third person wrote, quote, "Good. The one near me is borderline a homeless shelter. Smells fucking awful. Homeless sleeping in the booths. Walked in on one in the bathroom, naked. However, others blamed teenagers, in quotes, and other freeloaders who buy cheap items so they can treat the restaurant as an all-day hangout at which to carouse and leech off the Wi-Fi. One person theorized, quote, probably aimed at the person who orders one thing off the dollar or $3 menu and a fountain drink and then proceeds to stay for 4 hours. The New York Post, the people who wrote this article, they reached out to Wendy's for comment. In a similar story, 10 years ago, actually, employees at a McDonald's outlet in Flushing, Queens, called the police on a group of Korean elders who defied their 20-minute eating window. The group would reportedly split a packet of fries, which was $1.39 at the time. Boy, do I feel old. And a medium coffee, so $1.09 each, and then proceed to colonize the Golden Arches for 4 hours. Griped the outlet's manager, Martha Anderson, while voicing her exasperation, quote, it's a McDonald's, not a senior center. And it's not just fast food outlets telling customers to dine and dash, legally speaking. She reportedly dialed the cops after the fry squatters refused to move, prompting customers to demand refunds as there was nowhere to sit. And of course, last year here in town, several restaurants sparked backlash after imposing 90-minute time limits on diners due to space and staffing shortages following the pandemic. So, the more you know. Now, you know, just make sure you just buy enough food to eat. I don't know. Each of these things is supposed to have a lesson to the story, and I just, for this one, like, I got nothing. I'll let you guys ponder on this, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is, Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. That is the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of my favorite episode series, we're going to go into a significant moment in the Donald Trump presidency when he took us out of the Iran nuclear deal in year number 2 of the program. We'll talk about that on the 13th, which is not this Saturday coming, but the next Saturday, wherever, of course, you listen to this podcast. So until you batten down the hatches for all the rain that's going to be coming, and the winds, too, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, please be well. And honey, I'm taking the short way to get home tonight, and I'm using stretchy. Will the Mets be able to play their game tomorrow, and when will the sun finally return? Well, let's talk about that a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.